Good to see so many gathered here today. Glad to have the opportunity to worship with you. I'll be honest, I'm feeling some nerves, and that's not usual for me. So I'm kind of exhilarated by the emotion of it. I think some of it just has to do with the anticipation. We've been anticipating moving into this building for maybe 18 months or so. So to see that come to fruition is pretty interesting and neat. And we're glad to have so many visitors who've come to participate in worship with us as we do this. I recognize that there is no seat in the place where we have confirmed the conditioned air temperature. So I recognize we could have a full walkout here in a minute if we're off 1 degree north or south. So I appreciate that you're here for that. We've got some technological things kind of going on that we want to make sure work out and all of that. And so we're just hoping it all comes together. It's a good time for me to tell you, and don't look, but there's a camera right there that is trained to zoom in on sleepers and literally broadcast you across the earth. We're live streaming. It's headed in that direction. Wi-Fi's down today, so no risk of that today, but keep that in mind moving forward. I think what has given me the most nerves throughout the process is deciding what to present, what to preach, what should we study as we enjoy a new opportunity like the one we have today. And I don't know about you, but I'm looking around at how beautiful everything is, and I'm thinking, maybe I should preach on giving. I mean, let's dig a little deeper and pay for this place, right? Let me tell you something. We're not going to preach on giving today. In fact, I brought that up on purpose. I want you to know that when I got here 22 months ago, the elders were, of course, as you heard this morning, already talking about the opportunities for something like this. And in the first few months that I was here, I remember them talking a lot about what it would cost to have a building like this and renovate next door and support the local preacher. And we support some outside guys, continuing to support those outside guys. And quite frankly, in the early stages, there just wasn't enough there to do it. But they made a decision that they would pray about it and encourage God's people to assemble together and have faith in God, and we would not preach a single sermon on giving the entire time. I've been here for 22 months. We presented 150 sermons and not a single one asking you to give any more than what you have voluntarily decided to do. And I'm here to say, to the credit of the members here, that as we stand here today, we're in a good position to take care of this building, begin renovating that one, support the Emerson family, and we cut support to no one of all the people that we're helping, and we're able actually to send some funds to some preachers and some needy brethren along the way. That's a testament to this work, these people, and the direction we're going by voluntarily giving ourselves to the service of the Lord. Now, lest you get too excited about that, I'm going to tell you that I am, in fact, preaching on giving in 2 months. You got two more months, but on the two-year anniversary, I'm going to stand right here and preach on giving and digging a little deeper. But look, it won't be about, boy, we better do that or we're going to lose this place. We've taken care of this. I would like to, with the elders' approval, present to you the names of preachers, men, and the communities they're working in, and brethren in other places that are struggling, and tell you that if we are able to consistently give more, we can send it directly to God's people who need it. And we'll work on that in a couple of months, but we've not done it yet, and we will not do it today. It doesn't exactly help me answer the question of what to preach today, but it gave me an idea this week. We are not going to preach on giving. I want to talk to you about the exact opposite of that this morning. I want to talk to you about receiving gifts from God. People like that a lot better, you know. Giving things is important, being sacrificial and offering what you have, that's vital. That's what helps the work go forward. But receiving, everybody loves to get things. So let's talk about some of the things from God that He designed you to receive from Him. And here's how this lesson came together. I simply went to the computer screen, to a search engine, went to the New Testament and typed in the word receive, receiving, received. I wanted to find out everywhere in the New Testament that it tells us that God wants to give you something. Now, the bad news for you, there were 28 verses. How's that air feeling now? The better news for you is when those 26 verses were sorted out, it really boils down to 5 unique things that God does not want you to leave here this morning without. And I'm going to share that with you, and we'll do some Bible reading along the way. So let's present those 5 things this morning. Number one, let's start with the big one, the grand finale. God designed for all people to receive eternal life. God wants you to live forever with him eventually and live with the expectation of that today. Open your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians, please, chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I will share with you only two of the passages that reference this, although I would tell you that of all of the reception passages in the New Testament, most of them reference in some way eternal life. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, just verse 25, please. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. God has set us up to move forward in his name so that at the end of it, we could receive this amazing reward upon our souls, nothing short of an imperishable, everlasting life with him. Listen to the same language in Hebrews, please. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. We'll be in Hebrews for our next couple of verses. Hebrews chapter 10, and pick up with me in verse 34. Listen to the same kind of language. He said, verse 34, "For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which is a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised." Look at the end of the chapter, verse 39. "The preservation of your souls." God wants you to receive the imperishable presentation of glory for your souls. Here's the second thing, though. There are five of them. That would be plenty, by the way. But God has layered on upon that something that we would enjoy on a daily in and out basis, this great measure of benefit and favor and undeserved blessings that can get us from here to eternal life. You're in Hebrews, just back up to chapter 4. In Hebrews chapter 4, and notice with me in verse 16. I've ordered these effectively in the order of frequency in the New Testament. So there are quite a few passages that reference this as well, as you can imagine. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, "Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." That will be abundant when we get to heaven, but that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about getting through difficult times and finding help today. We do it by going to God and receiving both mercy and grace from him. Romans 5, please. Listen to the same thing shown to us, two verses per point. In Romans chapter 5 and in verse 17. We were studying this in the junior high and high school class today. Romans chapters 1 through 3 is about the despicable mess that we create for ourselves. Romans chapter 4 about how faith can change everything. But Romans 5 is about the great things that God has offered us. And in Romans chapter 5 and verse 17, the Bible says, "For if by the one transgression, the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ." We reign today if we have received the second gift of God, which is his grace, his mercy, his favor. Can I share with you a third thing? There are three gifts you mustn't leave here without. And the third one goes right in there with the others. And it is quite simply stated, the forgiveness of your sins. That's what Romans, the first three chapters, was about. Everybody sins. Romans 3:23, we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. And God wants you to receive forgiveness, receive reprieve. Open your Bibles to Acts chapter 26. Both of our passages are found in Acts chapter 26. And I need you to notice just verse 18, please. Acts 26 and 18. Here is why the gospel has come to mankind, including you and me. To open their eyes, Acts 26, 18. So that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. I don't know how far we get without that. If we are not sanctified, it means we've not been cleansed, and all the sins that you commit, you have to carry with you throughout life and into eternity. I'm not ready. I need forgiveness. Of course, if you would turn back to Acts 2, you know that that got mentioned pretty early in the stages of the church. In Acts chapter 2, please, and in verse 38, Once they had professed that Jesus was Lord and Christ and asked, what must we do? This text doesn't say they would receive forgiveness of sins, but it links it to something. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for, reception idea, the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I was going to make that one of our points this morning. You receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, but you're looking at the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gifts from the Holy Spirit are forgiveness of sins, the mercy of God, and eternal life. If you're here and you have not grabbed a hold of these gifts, do not walk out those doors unless you receive the blessings that God wants to give you. There are five of them. Here is number four. Open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 4. Part of accepting these gifts puts us in a very special, unique category. Because not everybody out there is willing to receive them, if you can imagine that. And so the fourth thing that God wants to give us is a spiritual family. God wants to give us access to his family, his people, his church. It's so awesome today. We have so many here today, most of which are members of the local Lyndale Church of Christ, but we've got folks here from Keller and Dallas and New Caney and the Moon and everywhere. We are one family. Everyone in the room that has received the gifts of God has been set aside. And here's how that works. Galatians chapter 4, please. Galatians 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive, watch this, receive the adoption as sons. Because you are sons. God has sent forth the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. It's not just Christian family. God wants us to receive a position as his son or daughter, his child in his church. And in that sense, Jesus is our elder brother that we look up to. We join into that family. And if you would back up in your Bibles to Mark chapter 10, that also means that we always have one another. Have you noticed that no matter where you go on vacation or visit or where you spend your time, you can almost always find God's people gathered somewhere? And you don't know any of them, and you walk through the door and you say, I'm a Christian from here, and all of a sudden everybody's best buddies and there's a casserole within the hour. Why do we do that? Because we're family. North Dakotans move down. Family. Christians together. We have the same father. We have the same elder brother, and we have one another. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 29, Jesus said, first of all, Peter said in Mark 10, 28, we've left everything and followed you. What about us? He said, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or farms for my sake or for the gospel's sake, but that he will receive 100 times as much. Watch this. Now, 100 times as much now. In the present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farm, along with, yes, persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. He could have told them, look, forget about everything you give up. One day you get to go to heaven, and that's all you get. That's not what he said. He said, I'll give you brothers and sisters. I've got more moms in Christ than any man could ever have. Looking out, supporting, assisting, and giving comfort, housing, food, and whatever is needed. Five things God wants you to receive. Don't leave here outside of any of these things. And the fifth and final thing, go with me to Matthew chapter 21, is something that we ought to be receiving and enjoying every day. And that is just simply answered prayers. I didn't expect to see this as often as I did, but there's this sort of common idea through the New Testament of going to God in prayer and God wanting to give you things, support and wisdom and blessings. In Matthew chapter 21, Jesus is addressing his disciples here, but listen to the language. Matthew chapter 21, and let's pick up in verse 20. Seeing this is after he caused the fig tree to wither. The disciples were amazed and asked, how did the fig tree wither all at once? And Jesus answered and said to them, truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, it will happen. And all things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Now we have to sort of temper that with according to the plan of God, the providence of God, the provisions of God, and a lot of other P words. But the point is this. You go to God every day and you tell him a mountain that needs to be moved. And if God aligns his will with yours, the mountain will move. God wants you to receive the blessings of answered prayers. A passage on that that really stands out to me is James chapter 1. One of the things that I know I need every day, and maybe you do as well, is wisdom. We have a lot of decisions to make every day, and I'm pretty sure I don't always make the right ones or know which ones to make. How am I going to get there? I want eternal life. I want to enjoy God's grace, and I want to be a benefit to the spiritual family, but I've got all these unanswered questions about how to live. James 1 says, ask God. God will answer. In James chapter 1 and verse 5, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. I like how we qualify that. Well, not really, not always, not all the time, not what you think. Stop it. You ask God for wisdom, he will find a way to give it to you. God answers prayers among his people. Well, there's the list. How do you like it? What if, let's just say, an angel in some angelic form walked through those doors and came up upon this stage and asked me to go sit down and said he was not impressed with my pulpit, and he moved it aside as well. I really like my pulpit. I don't even know if that's what you're supposed to call it. The designer, Dean's back there. Don't look at him. He built this. And he said, listen to me. I am here representing God. We all know that God is worthy, and we are not, and we would agree with him. So God, the angel says, has sent me here to share with you five gifts that God might offer to his people, and you have the opportunity today to choose one. You deserve zero, but I'll let you choose one. If an angel offered you the opportunity to choose one of these gifts, which one would you choose? I think most of us might default to the top and say, well, you know what? I think I'll take eternal. You can nod if you've done that. I'll take eternal life. Let's just take eternal life. Let's get to the end of it. But I don't think that would work out very well to you, because if you get eternal life, but not the forgiveness of sins, you're going to get eternal life in a place you don't want to go. That's not going to work. Or what if I say, give me God's mercy. I want to live under the blessings of the daily provisions undeserved of God, but there's no heaven. That blessing would be temporary. God, answer my prayers and make me useful, but I don't get any Christians to share it with. Or he gives you Christians to share it with, but you have to carry your sins around. Are you getting the point? One won't do. Two or three won't do. This is not the gifts of God. This is the gift of God. He puts them all together. He packages them in one relationship. Jesus died to preserve all five of them, and he just gives them to you all at once and all as one. We harmonize the gifts and we take them all. Well, let me just say this. When it comes to the reception of gifts, you have to ask two questions. The first question is, what's the gift? What are you giving? And I hope that we've done a decent job in this first half of this lesson or more. We're almost done. Maybe not. I don't know. Of sharing with you what God wants you to get, and you want it, and it's important. But look, when you talk about the reception of gifts, you know you have to ask two questions, right? It's not just, what do you have for me, God? It's how. How do I go about receiving it? If you want it bad enough, badly enough, you will want to know how to receive it. I thought about giving you a lot of examples of this. It's not necessary. You understand this concept. There can be amazing, grace-filled gifts that one person wants to give to another, but there is quite often some qualification to that, some requirement. Come and get it. Do this or do that. Meet a few requirements to possess it. And if we value the gift enough, we'll do whatever the requirements are to receive it, and we'll do it with glee. The question is, when it comes to these gifts of God, how do we receive them? Well, let me tell you what I didn't do. I didn't do a conservative Church of Christ cherry pick set of verses, you know, where I walk around going, I'm going to show you what you got to do. I'm going to read this verse that we always read, and this verse we always read, and this verse we always read. I'm not going to do that today. I'm going to very quickly, in the next 5 minutes and 32 seconds, maybe, take you back very swiftly to the same 10 verses. You've read 10 verses with me today. Each one, two of them, gave you one of the things. But in every one of those contexts, he's actually going to tell you how to get it. along with what it is. Let's do it very briefly. Go back to 1 Corinthians 9. Number one, we will make a list. Ultimately, there are seven things that go on the right side because there are seven things in these 10 verses and a little bit of redundancy along the way. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, when he talked about eternal life, look in verse 25. Verse 25 says, everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. If you want eternal life, you're going to have to exhibit self-control. The willingness to curb your behavior, to align that behavior with the will of God. No self-control, no eternal life. Go to the next passage, Hebrews chapter 10. This was the second one we read, related directly to eternal life. And this time, all you really need to look at specifically is verse 36. Verse 36, Hebrews 10, 36. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. I want to receive what is promised. It's the preservation of my soul. How do I make sure I get to receive it? Endurance. Hanging in there. Can't give up. You can't give up. I've given up on God. I've given up on fighting. I'm not the Christian I used to be, but thankfully there's eternal life out there for me, and it's all going to work out. Which Bible are you reading? You want the gift? Take it. How do I get it? Endurance. Hebrews chapter 4, please. Our next two passages related to the grace of God. How do we get our hands on the grace of God? Well, in Hebrews chapter 4 and in verse 16, we saw a word there that will help us quite a bit. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, therefore let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You want grace to help in time of need, right? And mercy. Everybody does. How do you get it? There must be confidence. There must be such an absolute, saturated, all-encompassing trust that when I go to God, when I appeal to God, when I beckon for God, He will always be there. If our confidence wavers, the blessings waver. God doesn't give grace to make up for a lack of confidence. God gives grace as an overwhelming treasure for even the smallest amount of it that we're willing to offer in His name. Romans chapter 5, please. Our second verse related to God's grace. We're going through the exact same text. We want to see that He connected the two ideas. We're not making the connection. The Holy Spirit is. In Romans chapter 5, we read earlier the idea of faith. Well, we'll see the idea of faith. We read earlier the idea of grace. Here is the connection. Therefore, having been justified, there it is, justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace. And we read verse 16 earlier in 17. Verse 17, you receive the gift of grace. How do you get it? By faith. Faith. What's faith? Chapter 4, trust. Belief in God. Hope against hope. I don't care what's going on in this world, how heavy it is or how other people are reacting to it. I trust that God can do it. You want grace? Grace by faith. Open your Bibles with me to Acts, please, chapter 26. Now we're into the two verses that tell us that God wants us to receive the forgiveness of our sins. And in Acts chapter 26, He was very clear on how that can happen. In Acts chapter 26, please, and look with me in verse 28. Acts chapter 26, and in this text, verse 20, please. In Acts chapter 26 and verse 20, He declared both to those of Damascus first and also at Jerusalem and then throughout all the region of Judea, even to the Gentiles, that they should repent. Acts 26 and 20, repent and turn to God, performing deeds appropriate to repentance. Do you want the forgiveness of your sins? Then repent of those sins. Repent of them. When we turn from the sin and walk away, God will forgive us the sin. That's really simple. Repentance leads to the blessings of forgiveness. Acts 2, please. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. You're going to see repentance emphasized again, and a sixth thing gets added to the fold. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, repent. Yes, do you want to receive forgiveness? It's yours. But repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. I was a little hard on our teenagers this morning in class. But in Romans chapter 6, it teaches that if you have faith, You have to die to sin for it to be removed from you. Through baptism in water, you die to sin. You kill it. And God kills it on your account. Forgiveness of sins is what? Repentance and baptism is how. You see it again back in Galatians. Look quickly about these family passages. We're almost through. In Galatians chapter 3, we looked in chapter 4 about how one of the blessings that we receive is this Christian family, this adoption as sons. But how do you get that? Look at verse 26 of chapter 3. The how of receiving it is sons of God through faith, already on our list. Verse 27, all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. So we're starting to see the same things come out again. Faith is in this text, just like in one of our earlier passages, and baptism is in this text. But look in Mark 10. Mark 10 was the second passage we read that directly connected us to our spiritual Christian family. And in Mark chapter 10, what was that context about? We will receive brothers and sisters in support. But what was the context concerning? Verse 28, behold, we have left everything. Mark chapter 10, verse 28, we have left everything and followed you. He says in verse 29, you have lost many things. But he goes on to say in verse 30, along with persecutions, you will receive the support you need among God's people. But what's the context about? Sacrifice. Giving up things. Nobody likes to do that. I thought this sermon was about receiving and not giving. Giving up things. Maybe even giving up people. Relationships and connections for the sake of serving God faithfully. All right. So this time our angel walks in, comes up to the front, asks me to step aside. If it's his second time in, I would just already be sitting. I would be out of his way. And he says, all right, I want you to look at the list on the right. God has sent me here, and he wants to bless you with everything on the left. There's no one, two parts. You get the entire thing. But check this out. All you have to do is pick one thing on the right and perform one thing, and you get all the blessings of God. What would you say to that? Awesome. Just one? Oh, yeah, just pick one. The religious world around us is based on that concept. That of the seven things listed on this side, you get to choose one. So the world says, you know what? I think I'll choose faith. Faith only. You heard that before? I'll choose faith from that list, the how, and I'll really trust in God and really believe in God and really pray. And then God, you give me everything on the left. Somebody else says, I don't know, faith's kind of hard. And this may hit slightly close to home, so hang in there. I think I'll choose baptism. You know, it's a one-time event, you know? You go, you baptize, you say the right things, you do the right things. And then later, yeah, my faith's not where it should have been. And I don't think about God very often, but I was baptized in 1987. I'll take everything on the left, please. Or somebody says, look, I don't know about all that faith stuff, and I don't even know about all that baptism stuff, but I tell you this, I've made real sacrifices in my life. I've heard this story many times. I've given up things and I've made cuts in my life. And no, I'm not a church person or a faith person or a baptism person, but I've made sacrifices. God will give me all the blessings. They just choose one or two. Some people, repentance and others. How many of you understand that won't work? God, I think I'd like to receive all of what you have intended, but only pick and choose one or two of the hows that get me there. So I'm going to ask you to do this. Look on the left and decide how many that you want. Come up with a word in your head. It may be, I'll take one or two or all of them. Are you looking to the left? Now look to the right and apply the exact same answer. Every person in the room today wants all of the gifts that God has to give. So follow him in all of the ways that he has asked us to go about receiving them. If you believe but have not been baptized in water, follow all the ways that God has set out for you to receive the gifts. If you have believed and repented and been baptized, but you've fallen out of confidence and trust in God, fold back into all of the ways of God. Let me give you one final passage to tie this together. Look in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 28 and 29. Hebrews chapter 12, please, verses 28 and 29. You're going to see the reception. This was sort of an outlier in my list. The only passage that said it this way, so we put it at the end. But it says in this text, in Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 28, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Look at this. That's what that is. You want to try to put all that into one word? It is the kingdom, the rule and authority and power of God over your life and into your life to bless your life. We have received a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Can I just ask you a little question just to see if we've all been paying attention today? What is the acceptable service to receive the unshakable kingdom? It is this. And when we live this way, he gives us that. But don't leave here thinking you can come up halfway here and get all of this. You get what you get, and as Nicholas tells me, you don't throw a fit. He tells me that a lot on the golf course. I know what I want. I want eternal life. And I want the grace of God. And I want the forgiveness of all my sins. And I want a Christian family. And I want God to hear me when I pray. If you want that too, it is gracious, it is glory-filled, and it is available to you. You know how. Act now as we stand.